Hello, Hare Krishna. I want to greet you affectionately before we start. We have been blessed today by the sudden appearance of Radha Govinda here, deities whom you would might like to see from close at the closing of the retreat. Before we go into this workshop's treatise, I want to just lean back for a moment and watch what is going on from my perspective. I must sincerely admit to you, I guess I can go closer. One moment. Oops. I must admit to you that giving such retreats for me is always a little bit risky. See, the holy name and chanting the holy name is so very dear to my own heart. Perhaps you notice even when my voice is broken, I can't stop. that I really want that something comes through and that this is helpful for you. It's not just an entertainment or another program, but that it helps you to, let me say, come to your next level, whatever it is for you. So when there are, it's easier to work with a small group, and when there is a bigger group like this time, it's not so easy. It requires a lot of more, I don't know, mental energy, I suppose. And also, I know myself, when I'm in a group, I can get lost in a group. So I sometimes may not manage to get personally through to all of you because just the setting. And yesterday I was a little bit, oh, will this work this time? I was not so sure until the kirtans came yesterday in the afternoon, and I really could see from the way you were participating that you were understanding the idea or responding to the impulse that to immerse yourself very deeply. If you look at your wrist, there is a silver band with an abbreviation for very immersed person. you have it also, every one of you. So I don't know if all of you are very immersed persons. But yesterday, when you came to the kirtan and this morning at the japa workshop, my heart was becoming relieved also by the kind feedback of all of you. My dear devotees, what we try to do in the short time which we have is to create an experience for each one of us. It is really not the responsibility doesn't lie on the kirtan leaders and on those who facilitate anything. It's on each single one of us to make this experience of immersion. That is, when your head leaves the normal zone where the head operates and comes under the water in a different zone of perception, so to say. And that is, it is something which each single person, each one of you must do. So I feel by the atmosphere it becomes lighter, more spiritual, more enlivened. And I thank you very much that you are such a good audience and that you don't get lost in the crowd. So fine. But we are now in the middle of our retreat, and I want to request Bhanu Nandini to come and give you a little overview where the journey went so far and where it took us. There is a lot of thought in all the different elements. Also, as she sets up, who of you was there for the Bhakti Brothers? Those of you like me who overheard my alarm clock, I thought it was I was dreaming there was an alarm clock ringing. So, but I heard from those who participated it was very useful, and I think tomorrow you will be so kind to again offer something, isn't it? Good. They are ready. So you might like to take advantage of the, you know, it's really for rejuvenation and re-energizing that this program is offered. Good. So, having said this much, please, Bhanu Nandini, tell us where we are.
So, Hare Krishna. Can we have just one little like temperature feeling experience? How are you all doing at this retreat? You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So please say how you are so that Maharaj and the Kirtanias can hear you. How are you doing? Okay, good. Achyuta Vatsena, you don't sound very, very, very convincing.
Everybody says horrible, else is like, oh no.
So one more time. Okay, good. I'm learning from Achyuta to do this. So we will just show you now a few slides. You can look at the screen here. It's our learning journey. So this learning journey was designed by Maharaj, and he really was investing a lot of time and energy into creating what for us looks like, oh, Maharaj does it all the time, he gives classes, he gives workshops, but really he had to curate this very, very properly with a lot of attention so that we really go on a journey. So a journey began with this information. Maharaj, if you remember, he has requested all of us that we create a satsang, which is company of the highest truth. So does anybody remember what are the elements that belong or that will create a satsang? What are one of the elements? We had four elements. How we will...
Listening,
yes. So Shusha, you can, yeah, put, thank you. So listening was one. Then the next, what comes after when we hear something naturally? Sharing, discussing, yes. Or reflecting on the meaning. Then?
Applying.
Okay, applying. But let's see, discussing them with others. And then it was applying or bringing the meaning into one's life. So these are four principles which you can apply not only during this retreat, but obviously also outside of the retreat when you're meeting with devotees, or when you are, some of you are yoga teachers, some of you are teachers, presenters. So you can see those four points. They are really principles based on the scriptures that work in any area of our life. Even when we study the Bhagavatam or the scriptures on our own, it's good to, after reading, stop and reflect a little bit. What have I read? What has touched me? And then maybe even share with somebody. So if you remember the pyramid of how we retain knowledge when we share, we really retain 50% of it, and then bring the meaning into our life means let's apply it. So this was really where the journey started, and you have all been really, really doing well on this. Okay, and then from here, Maharaj went to tell us the story of Ajamil, And you remember how he brought those points from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that Ajamil chanted only at the time of death, and still the Lord was very merciful to him. And Ajamil was very sinful, and he chanted without faith. And while chanting, he did not even call the name of the Lord, but he was calling out to his son. And still the Lord was so merciful to him. And then Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes this parallel, and he says, and imagine if you or we chant throughout our life, if we chant with faith, if we really mean Krishna when we call his name, how much more the Lord will respond to us. So somehow, those of you who came for this morning's japa session and who were here during the discovery class, the theme of today is somehow or other how does Krishna see us? How does he see our endeavors? How does he see from his perspective when we try, when we give our best? So when he was so merciful to Ajamil, just imagine how much more merciful he is to us. And then after this, we have formed our sankalpa. And you remember there were the attitudes and the mindset and the actions which we were looking for. And then we created our sankalpa. And we really, really, really hope that this sankalpa is still alive with you, that it's still carrying you on. As you remember, it is really our commitment to Krishna, so that we show up when we chant the holy names. So you can review your sankalpa also every evening, for instance, because especially from now on, after this workshop, there will be no more many teachings. There will be many kirtans, and it's a really, really good time for us actually to apply the sankalpa, to bring it into the kirtans, and to bring everything which we have learned here, the points which have touched us, so that we really chant prayerfully, that we are present with Krishna and so on. So you can do this also.
If I may just interrupt. Sankalpa, the idea of a sankalpa is, first of all, how do we get there? We went through a process of you know, digging deeper and performing something like spiritual archaeology. And now, where you have your sankalpa, it's good if you revisit it and see, how am I doing according to my sankalpa? And when there needs to be a correction, then in your behavior, then please do so. But if there needs to be a correction in your sankalpa, then please rewrite it, and so on. It's the reason this is very important is because so often we are not really in the place, in our deepest place. We are only in our deepest place briefly before our death, ironically. I always get letters from disciples who I don't know where they went to, but at the moments before their death, the day before their death or so, they write, oh, I forgot you, oh no, you are the most important, this is the most important, and so on. No, because we are unfortunately sometimes drifting to the surface like a water ball. We may be able to keep him sometime under the water, but whoop, it comes up at any occasion. So therefore, please revisit the sankalpa and also take it with you in your daily life, you know. That will be very useful for you.
Okay, so this was just the first evening. It was, so to say, setting the theme, the atmosphere. And then yesterday, Maharaj was teaching, and theme of the day was draw the mind into the heart. So if you remember, Maharaj was sharing during the discovery class in the morning that it's not enough just to sit and chant, but we really need to be present while we chant. And then we had a very specific verse from the Bhagavatam. It This is Prahlad Maharaj, who is saying to his friends, actually, that the Lord, he's really only attracted when we have devotion in our heart. So no matter how many charities we do, or austerities, or how learned we are, this all, or how wealthy we are, or how clean and pure we live, this will of course help us, but it will not necessarily attract the Lord. What will attract his attention is going to be our devotion within our heart. And from here, we moved to explore this topic a little bit, and Maharaj shared how, if you remember, the queens of Dwaraka, even though they were so beautiful that even Cupid himself was fainting when he would see their beauty, whereas Lord Shiva was totally overwhelmed by Cupid, right? So imagine how beautiful those queens were. But Krishna was not attracted by this external beauty. He was really attracted by their devotion. And then we explored further, where can one obtain this Ekanta Bhakti, this Bhakti with focus? And Maharaj shared in Vrindavan, then by selflessly serving those who have this Ekanta Bhakti, and also by chanting the holy names. So from there, we went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who said that one achieves perfection in chanting mantra when one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and controls his materially attached mind. And this became also the theme of the workshop. So draw your mind into the heart, and then we practiced, if you remember, be present and know I'm here with you. So this was yesterday's workshop and discovery class. And then this morning, without having made any practical arrangements with Achyuta, and without having told Achyuta what Maharaj is going to teach, actually she was inspiring everyone during the Japa, guided Japa session, to really see Krishna as our close friend. And this was really the theme for the day, Krishna, our dearest and nearest friend. And we really saw this as Lord Krishna, who inspired Achyuta Gopi, who inspired Maharaj, and this is weeks apart, you know, planning for this, and where Achyuta was teaching this today, and she shared so beautifully, so beautifully, and we have recorded this for all of you who would like to revisit. This will be on Maharaj's YouTube channel, and this morning session, but she so beautifully explained how Krishna really loves us and cares for us, and how we should chant with the understanding that Krishna is just coming, and how we are going to receive him, how are we going to see him, with which senses are we going to receive Krishna and serve Krishna. And so it's very, very beautiful. And so Krishna, our nearest and dearest friend, if you remember, Maharaj shared two very important quotes. One was that the Lord is so friendly to the living entity that he remains within the heart so that one can always contact him without difficulty. This was from Srila Prabhupada, from a purport. So Krishna is so close, and if you remember, he's traveling with us for lifetimes. He's always there in our heart. But unfortunately, and Maharaj showed the mirror example, we have somehow or other managed to cover our consciousness by our impressions and desires, so we're not able to see him even though he's so close. But by chanting the holy names, we will purify the heart. And then we saw this one quote, which says, others may be grateful for gifts that have already been given, but I am grateful for gifts that will be given in the future, and I reciprocate with these gifts even before they have been given. So you remember how Maharaj shared that Krishna is like a mother. And then he gave the example of a devotee mother who is with us, and even though the baby is not yet born, the mother is already having such beautiful, loving feelings. And even though the baby is not reciprocating with the mother, she's already reciprocating and looking forward to the baby coming into this world and then growing. So Krishna, this is his heart. He is not only grateful, like a gentleman, for the gifts, the services that he has received, but he knows what we will give in the future, and he's already grateful, and he's already reciprocating now. So these were some of the points. We are now in the middle of the retreat, and from here on, it's just going to be the holy name, basically. Tomorrow's morning class will be more or less a tune-in for the holy name, which we are going to sing throughout the day. So we really encourage you to just maybe take 5 minutes, 10 minutes of your day today and revisit your sankalpa, go maybe through some of the points we have touched you, so that you can really be present while we chant. And now we thought to do a little meditation, very brief one, so that we can tune ourselves for the remainder of the workshop. So we would request you to just sit straight, maybe roll your shoulders a little bit, loosen up. Yes, you can close your eyes. And just ground yourself in this moment. You have went so amazingly through these hours and days, and you're now here before entering the second workshop. Just arrive fully into your body. Feel if there is any tension and just release on an exhale. Do it in your own way, in your own time. And then focus on your breath. Breathe in your own rhythm. And let your breath be gentle and smooth. Breathe through your nose. And breathe in and out for 5 times and just stay with your breath. Start now. Just stay with your breath. You may even see how your chest rises and falls as you breathe in and out. And from there, draw your awareness into your heart. Continue to breathe in your own rhythm and just become aware of your heart space. We have heard that Lord Krishna, in his Paramatma feature, and for some as our Ishta Devata, resides within our heart. So you must see some beautiful, beautiful light in your heart, which comes from the effulgence of the Lord. And then let the image of the Lord arise in your heart. See his beautiful, beautiful eyes, his curly hair, this peacock feather. And just focus on his smile. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that a yogi and devotee should meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Srihari, because it's a smile which, for all those who bow to him, dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. So just stay with the smile of the Lord for some time. And now try to understand or sense how must the Lord feel towards you who have come to this retreat, you who have made such arrangements, like you had to purchase a ticket, you had to take time off from your work. Some had to even make arrangements to leave their children with grandparents just to come, just to be here. Devotees from Radhadesh, they have been preparing for this, they have been cleaning your rooms, they have been setting up this room, knowing that the Vaishnavas will come, who want to please the Lord, worship the Lord through chanting. The Kirtaniyas have gathered, Achyuta Gopi, who travels so much, but she wanted to be here and she said she wanted to serve you all. Amal and Nadia, everybody. Maharaj, who was preparing for this. The cooks, so many devotees. All together, coming here to worship the Lord in His holy name. What do you think, how much gratitude the Lord feels towards all of you and all of us for these austerities and these acts of love? And from this place of feeling gratitude, let the gratitude expand. Let it first and foremost give back to the Lord, who is the mover behind everything, who has arranged all of this. Then let your gratitude go to Srila Prabhupada, who has made all of this possible for us, so that we can gather and worship the Lord. And then let your gratitude extend to each and every Kirtaniya, to the flute playing Surabhi, to Maharaj, to all the devotees from Radhadesh who have been helping to arrange this, to all the cooks, the pujaris, to the sound technicians. And then also to each other, because we are creating the satsang, the company of the highest truth together. And also thank yourself for being here, for making all this way to be with the Lord. And then try to see the Lord's smiling face one more time in your heart. He's there, He's sitting right there, and He's knowing all of this. How pleased He must be. He is grateful for all the gifts that you have already made but he's also grateful for the gifts that you will give him in the future. He is our dearest friend. From here, just focus on your breath again. Slowly move your body, return back to body awareness, and from there, very, very slowly and gently open your eyes and come back to room awareness.
When we chant the holy name of the Lord, often a question arises in our heart. Perhaps it's an urgent voice in which this question comes to us. Sometimes it's an undefined feeling of lack. Where is the Lord in all of this? Or how can I make contact with Krishna? I know that from my own experience that sometimes I just feel, are you hearing me? You seem to not respond. Is that true? And so on. And often devotees come to me after retreats or any place, and they asked, I would like to come into a connection. I would like to feel a bond. How do I do this? To answer this need, our tradition speaks about two types of meditation on Krishna. One is very advanced, and the second is very doable and is in some ways introduced by Srila Prabhupada. He didn't speak so much about it, but he had a type of greeting of Krishna, which we do every morning when we live in temples. It's the first darshan, the morning darshan. And during this morning darshan, two verses are sung. One starts with Venum Kvanantam Aravindam Dalayataksham Aravindam Samasitam Utasundarangam Kandapakoti Kamaniya Visheshasham. And now everyone can sing Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami. Yes, and then there's a second verse starting with Angani. Now these two verses are the two verses in which the meditation called Mantra Mai Upasana is done. Srila Prabhupada addressed an entire world and a contingent of very young disciples. They were practicing spiritual life since 2-3 years maximum when these Govindam prayers came up, or 4 years maybe. So he did not discuss Mantra Mai Upasana, although the verses he chose are the typical prime entry verses in this meditation about Krishna. In Prabhupada's teachings, he has put many, many clues, and he, like a perfect teacher, waited for us to find these clues, to understand these clues, and then follow them. For instance, one clue is the holy name. Only after 30 years within our movement, the movement understood, well, we should make kirtan melas, kirtan sanghas, we should go out of our way to glorify the holy name and do sometimes consecutive days of chanting. We discovered that as time grew on. So I also believe that there are other things that we are still discovering, clues which we follow. For instance, to speak about Krishna and his leela and pastimes. Now some devotees feel, well, this is so, how could I overlook this? For 20 years I have seen, read the books, but I have not seen it. Am I not like the toll officers who could not see the obvious passing over the border into their land? No. So yes, there are these two types of meditation. I will first speak about the very high. I will not go into details. It's called the Swarasiki Upasana. It is a minute by minute or hour by hour or 28 minutes actually by 28 minutes. Is it 28? It's 24, I'm sorry. 24 minutes by 20, each 24 minutes it changes. And it is a spontaneous meditation about Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world, which is done on the level when there is purity in the heart. It's the Ashtakaliya Smaranam. We will not talk about this here, but this is called the Swarasika Upasana. What we will talk about here is the Mantra Mayi Upasana, of which these two verses which you sing every morning form a part. It is hoped that after some time devotees make themselves familiar with what they sing, because most of them are not regularly conversing in high Sanskrit with each other. So the English, German, Bulgarian, Romanian, Spanish translation helps to know. And when you learn to sing these two verses and other verses, one I will teach you today from the scriptures, then you will be reminded of Krishna, his name, how he feels, his qualities, how he looks exactly, and then also what he does, his pastimes. This is Mantra Mayi Upasana, the entry into Krishna meditation or Krishna Smaranam. I would like to bring you in your imagination is a word we don't like in your mind's eye, to Rupa Goswami, the founder of our glorious Sampradaya. He sat at a place called Teya Kadamba. Everyone, I request you, please come a little closer, because more and more devotees will come. Is today, today is Friday only. A Saturday will be very full. So by now we know each other and we don't feel uncomfortable when we feel the knee of our neighbor on our stomach. No problem. So, who of you has visited the sacred place of Thea Kadamba? Oh, quite many. Quite many. We have in our Govardhan retreats, or in the Holy Name retreat, we go there for one entire day. We sit under the shade-giving pilo trees. They are called pilo trees. And we chant 64 rounds, and many devotees are completing this and go over even beyond it, because that's the place where Rupa Goswami is still present. So Srila Rupa Goswami would sit in Thea Kadamba. He would chant the holy names, and while he chanted, he would see the character, the pastimes, and Krishna before his very eyes, manifesting in his heart, and then he would write these pastimes down in verses. And one of these verses I want to share with you today with my team. It is in the book Sri Radhikastakam. It's 8 prayers glorifying Radha, and it is verse 4. We have it here. Vivida kusuma vrindot fulada miladati vigatita madagunat keki pitcha prashasti madhuri pumuka bimbot gyanatambula raga spura ramalaka polam radikam Acharyami, please say the last word. Radhikam Acharyami. And again, please. Radhikam Acharyami. It means what you just said. I worship Radharani. I worship Sri Radhika is the translation, whose braided hair, decorated with many kinds of blossoming flowers, has violently attacked and broken the fame of the tails of the jubilantly dancing peacocks, and whose splendid white cheek, Radha's splendid golden cheek, is marked with a spot of red betel nut from Lord Krishna's bimba fruit mouth. Now, I admit, this on first hearing doesn't make much sense, because it's just so condensed. Remember, Rupa Goswami had to put a pastime into a little verse, Sanskrit verse, which you had seen there. So a devotee who does this first form of meditation, mantramayi upasana, where he brings Krishna through smaranam in his heart, will be on this verse, and his meditation will look a little bit like this. Now please only listen attentively. The next, I will move from here to a verse from the Bhagavatam, which is even easier to bring into the meditation. So, once again, Srila Rupa Goswami sits in Thea Kadamba. He chants, and as he chants, he sees in his mind's eye a pastime of Radha and Krishna, and he writes it down. What he sees is Srimati Radharani and Krishna stroll on the banks of the Yamuna. Radha shows Krishna, look at these trees. And Krishna tells Radha, look at this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful flowing Jamuna. And as they move, talking about the beauty of Vrindavan, they feel restless. And a beautiful house manifests spontaneously on their desire at the banks of the Yamuna. It is made from trees. And from there we start. I think you're tuning in already. The Yamuna River is there. Radha and Krishna walk on the banks and converse. Flowing by, and her gentle waves make a beautiful splashing sound. Yes, I hear, O Radha. Do you notice the Vasantika Samira, the soft spring breeze, which is bringing to us the fragrance of Madhavi flowers, of Malati flowers, and Yasmin flowers. So as Radha and Krishna discuss, there is Rupa Goswami present in his spiritual form as Rupa Manjari. And when he hears how Krishna mentions these beautiful flowers, he takes it as a clue. At that moment, Lalita comes to him and says, to her, it's actually her, Rupa Manjari, why don't you pick some Madhavi, Malati and Yasmin flowers and decorate Sri Radha's hair? As Rupa Manjari puts these beautiful and fragrant flowers into Radha's hair, Radha looks splendid. At that moment, a peacock appears there and sees the beauty of her hair that is so nicely decorated. And the peacock thinks, everyone talks about the beauty of my feathers. Whenever the rain clouds come, I start to dance jubilantly, and as people see my beauty, which comes from these spread feathers, they become enlivened. But now when I see Radha's hair,
I feel totally ashamed.
Mada Gunat refers to the peacock, who's Mada, a little proud, and moves his head in an intoxicated way, back and forth. But when this peacock and the others who are with him saw the beauty of Radha's hair, they became ashamed. And the peacock runs back into the cave of Govardhan and never comes out again. Rupa Manjari has also prepared a nice, small betel nut packet. It's a packet made in with leaves. There are betel nuts inside. And she has given them to Radha, who has offered this packet of betel nut to Krishna. Krishna said, "Thank you, Radha," and put the betel nut in his mouth. And as a result, his lips, which have already a natural red color like that of the bimba fruit, became even redder. And as Radha saw Krishna's lips coloring in this beautiful anurag way. Anurag means with increasing love, no? Anurag. She began to stare at Krishna, wordless, breathless, seeing the beauty of her Krishna. So Krishna thought, maybe she wants those betel nuts. That's why she's staring. And he wanted to give these half-chewed betel nuts to Radha. But Radha pretended to be angry. In loving anger, she turned her head away, saying, "No, no, no." And thinking, "Yes, yes, yes." At that time, Krishna laughed, seeing the love in Radha's heart welling up. And he quickly embraced Radha and kissed her on her golden-like cheek, leaving a round red mark there. So Rupa Goswami sees all this. He sees Radha and Krishna walking by the Yamuna. She sees Rupa Manjari, himself in his spiritual identity, decorating Radha's hair. He sees how the proud peacock who was dancing there sees the hair and feels ashamed and runs in the Govardhan cave never to come out again. And then he also sees briefly this beautiful loving exchange between Radha and Krishna. And he writes this down in this verse which you have just now heard. I worship Sri Radhika, whose braided hair is decorated with many kinds of blossoming flowers, and which the hair has violently attacked and broken the fame of the tails of the jubilantly dancing peacocks. I worship that Sri Radha, whose splendid golden cheek is marked with a spot of red betel nut from Lord Krishna's bimba fruit mouth. Hare Krishna. Wow. So these are verses for meditations, and as the devotee meditates upon them, they may fluff out like what we have heard the moment. I want to now, first of all, thank you very much, Amala. You carry Vrindavan in your fingers. Do you know this? That was like the sun has set. We sit in a beautiful mandir, in a small mandir, and there is someone playing such a beautiful raga. And of course, our Surabhi is the child of the bamboo stick, and has with a bamboo flute very nicely said, "Thank you, both of you, have been able to create a magic and sound. Thank you." Good. We will now go to a practice where I will request you to meditate on Krishna. I will read 8 beautiful features of Krishna's form. They come from a very well-known verse. As you can close your eyes, if you're not comfortable to close your eyes, you can also open your eyes. The 8 points will appear here on the screen for you as we meditate. No? Are you ready? This was just an example, no? That was meant to prime you. Do you know what priming means? Yes, what is? Oh yeah, we will think of a flower. We will meditate of a flower on Krishna's ear, and we have the flower. This is how these flowers look. Like a trumpet, can you see? No? We can make it bigger. It's a little small. You're laughing disabled. You can't see, in other words. Krishna always is described as having this type of flower. He likes it. I don't know if it's because of the shape. And there are light blue ones or yellow ones like this. They really look like trumpets. And they smell like jasmine. I'm just hearing this. I did not know before. Yes. So you can have an image like this. So good. So what you do in this, you read before you chant a verse that brings your mind to Vrindavan, and as you chant and your heart searches for Krishna, details of the verse will mix into the sound of your chanting, and slowly as you progress you will see how the sound and the form is identical. So here is the verse in Sanskrit. Do we have it in Sanskrit? Yes. Are you ready? No, you're not silent. Yes? Yeah, I understand the atmosphere is a little meditative. Are you willing?
Yes.
Good. Prabhu, we always hear Krishna dances on the tongue. Is this just verse, or is there something? So you will hear now the dance, you will see now the dancing Krishna as Shukadev Goswami describes him, and as you will just hear these descriptions and associate means in your mind, you will create images, you will already meditate about Krishna, then we will the short lead. It will go into a kirtan. I think Gokrishna is ready, or Amala is ready. So here it is, the verse. I always need a sound here. Bahapidam natavaravapu karnayokanikaram. Bahapidam natavaravapu karnayokanikaram. Bibradvasa kanaka kapisham vaijajantim chamalam. Bibradvasa kanaka kapisham vaijajantim chamalam. Rantran venu adarasudaya purayan gopavrinda. Randran velo adada sudaya purayan gopa brinda. Brindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad kita kirti. Brindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad kita kirti. So this describes how Krishna enters the Vrindavan forest while he dances very attractively. We will see the eight points immediately. So what is there? A beautiful peacock feather. The Lord has a beautiful peacock feather on his head. This described wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head. Then he exhibits a very attractive dancing pose. I cannot dance attractively, but very attractive. Shiva, Brahma, they think, wow! This is dance. Finally, someone is dancing. There's a wonderful Kanikara flower that rests on his ears. And because he's useful and playful, he sometimes takes the Kanikara flower from one ear and puts it on the other ear. When the Bhakti brothers had more hair, I could see sometimes they would throw their hair like this in a useful gesture of youthful exuberance. So Krishna puts the Kanikara flower on one ear and then on here in a youthful gesture of joyful exuberance. No? He wears very beautiful garments, as brilliant as gold. Around his neck, he has a garland with five colors, the Vaijajanti garland. And he has a flute, and he fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. As he dances, he does something with the ground. He beautifies the ground with the marks of his footprints. And he is accompanied by cowherd boys who sing his glories. These are the elements of the verse. You can see it in a picture. it's a little small. Can you make it brighter? It's as maybe you can close the curtain just behind the thing. So here again, let us go through this. There's a beautiful peacock feather on his head. Krishna exhibits a very attractive dancing pose. There's one beautiful Kanikara flower that rests on his ears. He wears very beautiful garments, brilliant as gold. He has a Vaijajanti garland. He fills the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. Yes, and he beautifies the ground with the marks of his footprints. And he's accompanied, you may see in the background, by these wonderful cowherd boys who sing his glories. So a devotee who wishes to bring Krishna, invite Krishna in his heart, he will chant verses like this Bahapitam Natavaravapu verse, which describes the meditation of the gopis as Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan. And if he is happy, he will, or lucky, he will meditate about many features, or one feature, the peacock feather, the dancing pose, the trumpet-shaped Kanikara flower, golden garments, Vaijajanti garland, or he will meditate about this activity, how Krishna fills the flute with the nectar from his lips. And in this way, or he will meditate that Krishna marks the dust with the footprints. If I could just see that footprint. You can see there are a few places in Vrindavan where you can see where they are engraved and frozen in the rock which had melted when Krishna came by and played his flute. The rock became ecstatic. Yeah, even a rock can become ecstatic. And Krishna stepped on it and he made a good print. And then he continued and the print is now there for you to see 5,000 years later. Yes, yes. So we will chant now and try as you chant to remember one or two of these attractive items.